From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, the 27th of November, 2023. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work. Stiff backbone, put a smile on your face. Take a deep breath and keep a prayer on your lips all day today. That certainly couldn't hurt. It's time now to start things off properly, though, with
the Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. And this one comes to us from an ancient Greek philosopher who was a student of Socrates. His name was Antisthenes. And he said, pay attention to your enemies, for they're the first to discover your mistakes.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah. And, of course, your spouse will continue to remind you of them.
I don't think that's funny.
So now let's move along to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Come on.
Twisted history.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
I know.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Okay.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. It's all right. If that happens, I'm ready. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1901 the U.S. Army War College was established. Yeah, apparently the War Department got the idea that you should have a degree to wage war. Maybe that's a good thing, I don't know. And it was on this day in 1964 filming started on the pilot for the Star Trek TV series. Now, this particular episode was titled The Cage. The cast included Jeffrey Hunter, Susan Oliver, Leonard Nimoy, and Majel Barrett. And although it never aired, some of the footage from that episode was reused in the Menagerie episode of the series.
Most illogical reaction.
Back on Friday, there appeared a column in the Western Journal by Jake Smith where he said that a majority of U.S. voters feel that the American dream can't be achieved. And this is according to a new poll conducted by the Wall Street Journal. Now, only about 36% of those surveyed said the American dream, as defined by the notion that if an individual works hard, he or she will get ahead, was attainable, according to the Wall Street Journal. And the poll was released on Friday. So Jake Smith managed to hit the word processor immediately after the publication of the poll. Now, the journal contrasted that with an August 2022 survey in which 68% of respondents agreed that if people work hard, they're likely to get ahead in America. Let me repeat that for you because that's pretty stunning. This contrasted with an August 2022 survey. We're talking just a little bit over a year. And now we're down to 36%? Really? Wow. Now, this is where it gets worse. When you dig into this, you find out that roughly two-thirds of voters feel the economy is in poor shape as inflation is continuing to outpace wages big time and prices continue to rise. I mean, I went to Walmart the other day to pick up my usual six-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper. I buy the 16.9 fluid ounces, the little plastic bottles, and a six-pack. Prior to the election of Joe Biden, was $2.50, and now it's $5. Doubled in price. Doubled. It's unreal. So let's dig into this a little more. Half of respondents, half, said the quality of life in the U.S. is poorer than it was 50 years ago, compared with less than a third of respondents who felt it was better. Now, I have to agree with that because 50 years ago, I was a young man. I was raising kids. Yeah, 50 years ago. So, as a matter of fact, 50 years ago, I had just had a baby daughter. My oldest child turned 50 back in October, October 25th. And I was doing pretty decently, really. We had just bought a house shortly before the middle of 1974. So when my daughter was born, we were still living in an apartment, but we got a house a few months later. And things were looking pretty decent. And then along came Jimmy Carter, but we'll get into that some other time. Anyhow, the idea of the American dream seemed more unattainable to women and younger poll respondents, which is understandable. I mean, these young kids today, they're coming out of college with these degrees in engineering. And while their paychecks are pretty good, the paychecks don't get them anything. By the time they're done paying rent and utilities, they're broke. Now, compared with 46% of men, only 26% of women said they believed hard work would guarantee success, and only 28% of respondents in the under 50 bracket felt the same, compared to 48% in the over 50 bracket. Now, additionally, only 35% of respondents to the journal poll felt the economy was in good condition. I need to give credit where credit is due here, too. The journal didn't conduct the survey by themselves. It was a survey company known as NORC. I don't know what those letters stand for. But higher inflation rates across the board have put a lot of squeeze on Americans to spend less on non-essentials. Vacations, eating out, forget about it. Price increases were the biggest financial issue for 82% of Americans as of November. I mean, you know, here again, it's the economy, stupid. And Joe Biden continues to get up behind the podium on an almost weekly basis and extol the virtues of Bidenomics. Well, the man is totally clueless. He's just getting up there and he's saying what he is being told to say by the O'Biden administration. I call it the O'Biden administration. It's the, you know, it's Obama. Obama's running the show. And I'll tell you what, there was a time 2 years ago, you would make that allegation, Obama's running the show. And people would laugh, they would mock you. And now there's hardly a person that you can run into who takes issue with that idea when you suggest it to them. They say, oh, I know. Now, the price American families paid to celebrate Thanksgiving this year was the highest in history, as relevant food prices for the holiday have increased roughly 26% since Biden took office. There was a propaganda story on one of the mainstream media news outlets. I wish I could remember who it was. I think it was ABC. And they were claiming that the price of your Thanksgiving turkey has gone down. It has not. For instance, uncooked poultry chicken prices have increased 31.2% since January of 21, while classic desserts like the pies and cakes have jumped up by 31% in the same period. 31. Poultry, 31.2%. Your desserts, 31%. Seems to be almost a blanket number. And meanwhile, the administration continues to claim that Bidenomics is working. Even as only 14% of voters say the economy's better off under Biden. And I would love to talk with those 14%. I really would. I'd love to sit down with them. And would you please explain to me how, with your level of math, you believe Bidenomics is working? Where is it working? Please point it out to me. I want to know. So according to a November 13th Financial Times poll, 14% say that Bidenomics is working. They're better off under Bidenomics. Meanwhile, 70% say the economy has suffered under his policies. 70%, that is pretty solid. So in some areas, I do have to concede, in some areas, wages have gone up, but not for the rank and file. Only in specialized fields. Now, the poll was conducted with 1,163 registered voters from October 19th to the 24th, contained a margin of error, plus or minus 4 percentage points. So we're talking about information that was gathered a month ago. And the White House, of course, didn't immediately respond to a request from the people at Western Journal for some kind of a comment. They got nothing. And I can tell you, that's all they're going to get. Well, our friend John Doherty, writing in Conservative Brief, pointed out that economic conditions under Biden continue to worsen heading into the 2024 campaign cycle as everything continues to become much more expensive. According to the Fox Business Network, which cited the American Christmas Tree Association, they say the average price of a Christmas tree is up 10% more than last year, with trees averaging between $80 and $100 this season. Yeah, not shocking at all. You can find bargains. When I was at Walmart the other day, in fact, it was the same shopping trip where I went to pick up my Diet Dr. Pepper. They had boxes and boxes of 6.5 foot high pre-lit Christmas trees for $39. You won't find that price again the rest of the season. And I already have an artificial tree, one that I bought, 30 years ago. Been using the same tree for 30 years. Still looks good, too. But anyhow, the organization contends that artificial Christmas trees will incur even higher costs than real trees, with prices ranging widely from $85 to $1,000 or beyond. Oh, on artificial trees, you can get as fancy as you want, whatever your budget allows. But Jamie Warner, executive director of the American Christmas Tree Association, was talking to Fox Business and said, according to our 2023 survey, 52% of artificial Christmas tree owners purchased their tree for under $200, and 27% paid $200 to $400. For artificial Christmas trees, costs vary depending on the producer, retailer, size, shape, and features, such as pre-lit options. And then Fox also noted the price hike follows a recent poll from the American Christmas Tree Association, which found that despite 78% of consumers expressing concern over inflation, 94% of consumers say they plan to display at least one Christmas tree in their homes this holiday season, while 77% said they would display an artificial tree in their home instead. Now, I can remember only maybe one or two Christmases where we had two trees in the house. We had one downstairs, my big artificial tree that I bought 30 years ago. And then we had one that my son bought. And that was one of those white pre-lit trees. And we posted that upstairs in the game room. It is going to Austin with my daughter here in the next day or two. But anyhow, Jamie Warner told Fox Business Network, she says, we always recommend that consumers shop early to get ahead of the holiday rush and find the decor, type, and style of Christmas tree that best fits their needs. Oh, yeah, because the price, closer you get to Christmas, the more expensive they get. And she said, this year we're seeing many consumers, especially those concerned about inflation, purchasing their decor well before the typical shopping seasons of November and December. Absolutely. Of course, it's not just holiday items that have gone up in price. The cost of virtually everything Americans need most has skyrocketed under Biden. You already know this. You have experienced it. If you do any shopping at all, you understand full well. The average American now needs to earn an eye-watering $115,000 a year just to be able to afford a house. And that's up from $99,000. And some change last year for a median-sized home. And it's stunning. They also said the latest data from real estate company Redfin has revealed that prospective home buyers need to earn a salary of $114,627, up 15% from a year ago, and up more than 50% since the start of the pandemic. And this is about $40,000 more than the income of a typical household. The average worker's salary was around $75,000 in 2022, the most recent U.S. Census Bureau data available pointed out. And while hourly wages have gone up around 5% over the past year, that isn't nearly enough to keep pace with the rapidly rising cost of housing, the availability of which is declining significantly as well. My friend, we Americans are not in good shape economically. Now, the London Daily Mail, which does a good job of covering American news. In fact, they do a better job of covering American news than the American news outlets do. And the London Daily Mail is not owned by one of those six companies that control virtually all the news we get these days. And they said the typical U.S. home sold for about $420,000 in August, up 3% year over year and about $12,000 shy of the all-time high hit in mid-2022, according to Redfin. Then in August 2012, all right, we're talking 11 years ago, Americans needed to earn less than $52,000 annually to be able to afford a median-sized home, a median-priced home. Median is based on around 30% of annual income. Meanwhile, in addition to sky-high housing costs, interest rates in the Bidenomics era have skyrocketed as well and now average around 7.7%. The Federal Reserve began raising rates last year to combat historically high inflation rates as Biden and a Democrat-led Congress increased federal spending by trillions. Please remember this when you go to the polls. You know, a lot of economists said that this all contributed to inflationary pressure. Well, of course, we all understand that. You don't have to be an economics major to understand this. Redfin economics research lead Chen Zhao told the Daily Mail, in a home buyer's ideal world, rising mortgage rates would push demand and home prices down enough to make up for high interest payments, but that's not what's happening now. Although new listings are ticking up slightly, inventory is still near record lows as homeowners hang on to their low mortgage rates, and that's propping up prices. She said buyers, particularly first-timers who are committed to getting into a home now, should think outside the box. She also noted that you consider a condo or townhouse, which are less expensive than a single-family home, and or consider moving to a more affordable part of the country or a more affordable suburb. I've been looking around. I've been looking at condos, townhouses, patio homes, that sort of thing. And right now, it's not a good time to buy. And if you're going to go that route, you're going to go the route of condos and what have you, prepare yourself for the maintenance fees, because I have been looking at maintenance fees, monthly maintenance fees, averaging between $250 and $450 a month. Please factor that in if you're going to be shopping. This shouldn't surprise you too much. According to an article in Epoch Times by Tom Ozimek, there's a new report that finds that blue state residents are paying far more for electricity than their red state counterparts. Can you imagine why? Oh, you're going to love this. Due to aggressive climate policies. Yep, blue state residents whose governments have adopted the far left aggressive climate policies are paying a lot more for electricity and fuel in general, than their counterparts who live in red states that lack such policies. And this is according to a new report from America's largest membership organization of state legislators. Yeah, the report from the American Legislative Exchange Council, also known as ALEC, A-L-E-C, provides a breakdown of energy prices throughout the United States while demonstrating the relationship between big government policies and high energy costs. Again, you don't need a political science degree or an economics degree to understand what's going on here. We all know what's going on. You know, you look at the state of our country, and what's destroying us really is politics. Now, what constitutes politics? Your vote. So if you're living in one of these blue states and paying far more for your energy all the way around, your electricity, your gasoline, your diesel fuel, everything that powers the modern day conveniences that we've all come to rely on, well, that's your fault. You voted for these knuckleheads in your state. Now, the report reads, let me go ahead and read from the report here directly. It says, while some states rely on free market principles and innovation to limit man-made emissions into the atmosphere, others use a more heavy-handed approach by implementing of standards, enacting mandates, and pricing schemes that benefit specific types of technologies. Now, right there is a key word that is, Well, it's behind a lot of why you and I are suffering, regardless of what kind of a state you live in. I mean, even in red states, we're all suffering because we're suffering at the hands of all of this inflation we've been talking about throughout this entire podcast today. Mandates. Mandates. There should be a federal law against mandates. And according to the report, they say whether it's mandates, subsidies, or some combination of both, when the government inserts itself into the energy markets, taxpayers wind up footing the bill. Again, this is another thing we already know. If you're more than a casual observer of politics, of current events, you already understand this to be a fact. The trend of government mandates being linked to higher electricity prices is very evident throughout this report. For instance, simply being part of the renewable portfolio standard, which dictates that a certain amount of a state's electricity generation must come from renewable sources, pushed up electricity costs in a participating state by around 11%. Overall, the report finds that red states that lack their own green energy mandates or that don't take part in cap and trade schemes, which are basically systems that limit aggregate emissions from a group of emitters by setting a cap on maximum emissions, have the lowest electricity costs. So let's go down a list here. Red states, Idaho, Wyoming, and Utah had the lowest electricity prices. None of them have a government-mandated RPS or participate in cap-and-trade schemes, such as regional greenhouse gas initiatives, which is basically a CO2 cap-and-trade program among 10 states in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast regions of the country. What is an RPS? Renewable Portfolio Standard. Okay. Which is just a fancy way of saying you've got a law or a mandate on the books in your state that requires a certain number of renewable energy sources. Now, Utah has a voluntary renewable energy goal of 20% by 2025, but it's not a mandate. Idaho and Wyoming don't have state-mandated net metering, which is the utility billing practice of recording the excess energy generated by a solar installation and applying it to a customer's bill as credit toward grid-drawn energy. All kinds of little games they're willing to play here with your money. Now, while the report notes that the impact of state-mandated net metering is still not clear-cut, some utility companies have said that it represents a cost shift from people who can't afford to install solar panels, leaving people without solar to pay a greater share of the fixed costs of maintaining the electrical grid. Have you ever been surfing the internet and you see in the corner on a column or an ad a little box that says, "Your state will pay for your solar panels"? It's a scam. It's a scam. And you're paying for it. So, outside of red Alaska and blue Hawaii, which are geographic outliers, and so understandably have the highest electricity costs, the five states with the highest electricity prices are all blue: California, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New Hampshire. All five states have cap and trade schemes, and that's what they are, they're schemes. They also have government mandated RPSs in place, and each of these states has also imposed a state-mandated net metering policy on its utilities. So overall, the difference in electricity costs between the cheapest red states and the most expensive blue states is actually very substantial. The costs of a kilowatt hour in California, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut are more than double what they are in red states, Idaho, Wyoming, and Utah. Now, this report also says there's a strong correlation between big government policies and higher electricity costs, which is not a news bulletin. We've known this. When crafting energy and environmental policies, lawmakers should avoid imposing more government controls and instead allow markets to adapt, innovate, and improve. They've trampled on the free market, and they don't. They, the legislators, the laws that these legislators enact, don't allow free enterprise system to catch up, to innovate, to make our energy more affordable. No, they want clean air now. Now, besides electricity, the ALEC study also looked at gasoline costs across states and similarly found that in general, there was a correlation between government mandates and prices. The report says states with more stringent fuel content requirements, more regulations, and above average taxes generally have higher gas prices than those who do not. And meanwhile, a recent report from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the EIA, found that the cost of heating a home this coming winter using natural gas is going to be roughly 40% lower than using electricity. Well, natural gas is cheaper because you don't have to generate it. All you have to do is take it out of the earth. Natural gas is a byproduct of the earth's superheated core. Natural gas is being made all the time, 24/7, all over the world. That's why they call it natural gas. It's not like oil where you pump it out of the ground and you deplete a well. Natural gas is constantly being made by the earth. Households using electricity to heat homes are projected to pay over $1,000 on average between November and March, according to a November 7th Winter Fuels Outlook report by the EIA. By contrast, households using natural gas are only expected to fork over $601. That's why in my new place, if I ever get into one, I very much prefer a gas range, a gas stove. Not the oven. I don't care about the oven. That can be electric. But I want a gas cooktop because it's more efficient heating and when it heats a pot of water or a pan, it's not heating the rest of the kitchen. It's cooler, but it's far more efficient than electricity. Now, the stark findings come as the Biden administration has been ramping up its war on gas appliances, including furnaces, while touting electrically powered alternatives, like heat pumps, which do not work. I remember back in 1976, I got stuck in an apartment with a heat pump, and I was always cold, and my electric bills. Think about this. My electric bill for a two-bedroom apartment in 1976 was $65. That's 1976 dollars we're talking about. It damn near sank my budget. And it's all in the name of fighting climate change, which is bullcorn. There is no climate change, at least not man-made climate change. If the climate's changing, it's like I always tell you, it has to do with solar activity and how the Earth responds to it. The Earth's natural resources, our atmosphere, responds to solar activity. We are not changing the climate. Can you think of a more arrogant statement? Well, humankind is changing the weather. No, it is not. Get that notion out of your head. Now, recently, the DOE, Department of Energy, announced that Biden was going to use emergency wartime powers to boost U.S. production of electric heat pumps, which he does not have the authorization to do. Here again, the government has become a dictatorship. I'm not going to mince words. That is what our government has become, particularly under this administration. It has become a dictatorship. They're making decisions for you and me that you and I have nothing to say about. We have no voice in this whatsoever. And that runs contrary to our Constitution. Earlier, the DOE proposed new energy efficiency standards for residential water heaters. And what these would do is they would require electric water heaters of the most common size to use heat pump technology and gas-fired instantaneous water heaters to use condensing technology to achieve energy efficiency. Well, at the time, Republicans on the House Subcommittee on Economic Growth, Energy Policy, and Regulatory Affairs argued that the DOE's proposed appliance efficiency standards would be burdensome and costly for Americans. All true. And who does that hit the hardest? Of course, lower-income families. It hits them not only the hardest, it hits them first. To the Comedy Corner, let me set this up for you a little bit. His name is John Novosad, and he's got long, gray, stringy hair, almost shoulder length, and he wears a Van Dyke, and his eyes don't line up perfectly. Very funny-looking fella, but it works.
Anyway, I'm very happy to be here, and I did a show here last night, and some lady asked if my hair was natural. I'm like, where would you go to get your hair done like this, you know? She said, PetSmart. That stung a little bit, but she was right. It's a really good deal, so I've been going back every 4 to 6 weeks. And I'll tell you, that flea bath is tough, man, but all right. Some of you are digging this, and some of you are looking at me like, didn't we see this guy under a bridge earlier today? That was me, man. I write these jokes in the dirt and then come in and try them out. And I'm not looking forward to this rain. It's going to wipe out my act. Thanks a lot. I'm doing good on the right side of the room. I'm cousin Republicans over there. But no, I am. I'm a registered Republican because I just like showing up to the meetings and freaking them out. You know, I'm like, they're like, you're not supposed to be here. I'm like, yeah, I am. When I tie my hair back, I look like that guy on the nickel. So they're like, we got to let him in. He's on the nickel. All right, now, I'm so happy to be doing shows again. And you know, I fly to most places. I mean, I'm not a good driver. I think, you know, when you get a good look at me, I don't think that comes as a real shock. I don't think you guys are like, I bet this guy can really drive a car, man. I'm not good behind the wheel of an automobile. If you look at me, I got a weird eye going that way, which makes it interesting at four-way stops, you know? They're like, which way is this guy going to go, do you think? That joke always does better over here. People over here are like, his eye is the only normal looking thing on him, man. All right. But I am a bus rider, and weird things happen to me just in general. But, you know, the bus magnifies it. And this happened to me at a bus stop in Colorado. And I'm from Colorado, but I don't ski because I'm already sliding downhill in so many other areas of my life. Wow, thank you over there, man. I'm going to get the whole room to laugh and my eye will straighten out just for a minute there. Wow. But this happened in Colorado. It was 8 o'clock at night. It was this time of year. It was dark out. And say, like, that stool is the bus stop, right? I walk up to the bus stop like you normally would, and I startled this woman who was there. And I get it. I mean, you know, I'm a weird-looking guy, however you want to say it. But we live in America here, right? We have freedom of choice. Like, all right, I'm doing well one person at a time, man. Everybody's going to laugh. It's just individually. But I've been there before. I'm not even a comic. I came in to get out of the cold for a while. Said, let me tell my stories. Give me a bottle of water and let me go up there.
Make it a marvelous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.